Help us to take to heart this, our message from Holy Scripture today. So for the past few weeks, I have been talking about stewardship. Stewardship of time, and last week, stewardship of our gifts and abilities. I still haven't seen those who have been assigned their tasks come and speak to me this week, if you remember last week and the tasks you have been assigned, but we'll talk about that later. Today, I'm going to wrap up our theme of stewardship and talk about the stewardship of money, our material treasure. Now, if ministers know anything about this subject, they know that they usually don't want to talk about it because people don't want to hear it. And if I know anything about it, I know that for at least some of you, when I said we were going to talk about money, your body kind of tensed up a bit and your mind's closed down like a steel trap. And maybe your butt tightened up on the chair just a little bit. People are really okay with me talking about our stewardship of time and our stewardship of talents or abilities, but when it comes to money, that's just not so popular in the church. Even the photocopier this week shut down on me when I was trying to get it to deal with money. I wanted to use it as an illustration this week, a $100 bill, and I was going to cut it up into pieces to show. And when I put it on the bill on the glass to enlarge, $100 bill on the glass to enlarge it and reproduce it, the message on the keypad on the photocopier said, "It's illegal to reproduce this object." I couldn't believe it. We have a very smart photocopier here. Even it doesn't like to deal with money in the church. 3 weeks ago, we celebrated Thanksgiving, a time when we acknowledge all of the good things that God has given to us and done for us. It's only natural then that in response to Thanksgiving, at some point, we talk about what we give back to God. Because after all, it is a relationship that we have with God. God gives us everything. What will we give in return? I read of a couple named Gladys and Gordon Dupree who express it this way when it comes to stewardship of our finances. Someone, they said, will raise the inevitable questions. Does God lack for anything? Why should I give to God of my limited resources, my limited means, my precious time, or my one short life? Will it make God, owner of the universe, any richer? Then they said, no. But it will make me, a creature of God, more than a dead-end receptacle. It will make me a live being through which life flows back to God. The reality is that what we have and what we do with what we have is God's business. That's stewardship in a nutshell. What we have and what we do with what we have is God's business. And if it's God's business, then it's the church's business as well, because we are the expression of God in the world. So today, I'm here to make no excuses. My goal, in fact, is to convince you that our material resources, our money, might best be used in service to God through the church. And I want to make three arguments to that point. And you can judge as to whether the arguments are compelling or not. So are you ready? Argument number one. Zombies are coming. You never thought a minister could make an argument for stewardship of money with zombies, did you? But I said it. Somebody had to. We've all been thinking it. And nobody's had the courage to say it. So I'm saying it now. Zombies are coming. I listen to CBC in my car when I'm in the car, and every program I turn on this week, we're talking about zombies. seriously, I know that Halloween was coming, but why are zombies such a big thing these days? You know what zombies are? They're dead bodies that have been brought back to, have been reanimated. I shouldn't say brought back to life. They're the undead, but they're not alive, actually. Seems that the zombie craze is taking over the world these days. But what most commentators were saying about zombies is this, that this popular craze of zombies reflects the fears that we all harbor as individuals and as societies. That's why they're so popular today. Because we have so many fears today. Some like this. Technology is taking over our brains, taking over our children. Global warming is going to destroy the planet. There's going to be a major economic meltdown. The Ebola virus or some other virus is going to get us. There will be a global epidemic and we won't have enough medicine to treat it. The Chinese or Russians or Americans or substitute your own country are going to take over Canada. Immigrants will come and change us, upset our peace, become terrorists. Our imminent death. And in this neck of the woods, the NDPs and Liberals are going to destroy us. Thing is, in most of these concerns, there may be some substance, maybe just enough that we believe them and fear is setting in to our world. We live in a state of heightened awareness of the perceived threats all around us, and the fear is exacerbated by the media and our conversations around tables. Fear sells. In fact, fear is the impetus behind big business often, and sometimes government. So what do zombies have to do with giving to the church? Just this. Where would we be in this world without faith? Without being grounded in something other than what we are being sold today? What really scares me is a world without any place to go, where there is a different story than stories that generate fear. The world is in desperate need of hope. People need to be told that God is in charge on our side, everybody's side, that we are loved, deeply and unconditionally loved. When we get that, we can let go of our fear and uncertainty and rest in the knowledge that whatever happens, we are going to be okay. The future is good. God has always been there, is here, and will always be. It will work out. Trust God. Be grounded in something other than fear. Our scripture lesson this morning paints a picture of a time when Israel is in a tough situation of exile and oppression, but they hold on to a future that is glorious and bright, a world where good will triumph over fear and pain and darkness, a place where all who struggle will be cared for, and when pain and tears will be no more, where death has been overcome. Israel, the chosen people of God, experience far more hardship than most of us will ever know. But it rested in the sure and certain hope that God would bring about a better future. What would we be in this world if we had no places where that story was told? Where would we find the story that is counter to the story that the media and so much of the world seems to be telling of doom and gloom today? I think that we would quickly dissolve into despair and hopelessness. We need a place where the story is not of zombies, but of hope that encourages us, and of love that embraces and claims us. We give to the church so that we hear this story, so that it continues to be told into the darkness of despair. Zombies will not overcome. A story of hope and love is the story that we have to share with the world. My second argument comes from this. Yeah, see what happened this week next door? Jack Parsons took this picture from the third floor. It's just a pile of rubble right next to us. Right? This argument comes from Joni Mitchell by way of a friend. And it's something like this. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? Imagine us not being here, just like the creamery was knocked down this week. Flattened, gone, leveled, the end. Imagine us not being here either. Imagine the church not being here. Where would we be? Where would our community be? Where would the town be? Dare I say the world, if we ceased to be, if the church ceased to be. Best friends have been made in this community. We have found a place, many, where we could find purpose and a place to serve. The United Church offers an alternative theology for those who don't feel they fit elsewhere. We'd have no more Willis Christmas treasure tables where people come to fellowship and buy inexpensive gifts for their family at Christmas. Or no more harmony group, antipasto. Although I've never figured out what antipasto is. I wondered if it's a food that's against pasta. No resources going to other parts of the world through our mission teams, changing people's lives. No benevolent fund where we get sent a lot of people in this town to pay rent and groceries, medicine, education, and so on. Just this Thursday, for example, when I was here, there was a group in the chapel sewing for worship. There was a Remembrance Day project going on in the foyer. There was a finance team working in the office, and there was jacket racket going on. Lots of fun, lots of laughter, lots of fellowship. This is happening every day here. This community would be poor without Okotoks United Church. We would be poor. That's why we support the church with our resources, all our resources. We give to give life to others, to ourselves, to the world, to keep a community alive that contributes so much to people inside and outside of our doors. Imagine us not being here. That's why we give. And the third reason why we give to the church? Because Bev Carlson does. It's a little tongue-in-cheek. I'll explain that in a minute, but I'm going to invite Bev to come up and share. Can you switch over, Keith?
Do I need to read anything?
No, nope, you're good. You just tell us what you think. No, don't tell us what you
really?
Think.
We could be here for a while.
Yeah. So what things are you involved in the church?
Well, longest term, I guess, in from the cold. That's been probably 10 years now, mm-hmm. which always makes me think. If you ask Curtis is 12, you say, how long have you been doing In From the Cold? His answer is, my whole life. That's what he says.
Yep.
I've sat on the board for a few years, and then I chair the board. That's correct. Mm-hmm. That's B-O-A-R-D, not B-O-R-E-D. Mm-hmm. That's different. Mm-hmm. What else do I do? Volunteer at different events that happen. Last couple years, Turkey Supper. My kids are involved in youth ministry. Mission is my passion from Guatemala in 2006, I think. Africa in 10?
Eight.
Nine. This coming spring will be our third, the kids and my third trip to Dominican. Mm-hmm. And a plug for Dominican, selling tickets. I think you mentioned it already. And we're doing a silent auction. If anybody has anything they want to donate, come and see me.
Yep.
Silent auction.
So you support the church in a lot of ways. And your business actually supports the church as well. They pay for the food for In From the Cold. Why do you give to the church?
That's not an easy question to answer. It's not. I mean, there's so many different answers. We support the church through my business and personally financially because we can. That's simple. Mm-hmm. But with our time and with the things that we do, it's important. I started doing it because it all comes back to the kids, because my kids do what they do, and it's important to me to see not just my kids, but lots of kids and everybody's kids see the world in a different manner than what we see it every single day. This isn't normal, just in case anybody doesn't know that. North Americans don't live a normal life as compared to the rest of the world. For me, it's the bigger picture. It's the world. It's why do I serve on the board? I guess that's Dave Fredrickson's fault. You know, he talked to me lots about it, and more important than why do I think, is all the reasons I thought I couldn't. I said to him, and I thought to myself, I sit here in church and I don't know what goes on upstairs in the boardroom. I've never had anything to do with the hierarchy of the church or the workings of the church or United Church of Canada. I was just, this was it. This was it for me. And he told me that didn't matter. It was, and he's right. It's, you know, sitting here, we think, or I thought that, the boards now did what they do because they knew what was right. And that's not true. It's,
we do it as community.
We hope that what we do is the right, we agonize that what we are doing is the right thing, but it's hard and it's fun and it's, community. It's fellowship. It's not all numbers. We have great spiritual leadership, reflection.
And what do you get out of giving or supporting this church?
All those things. We get, I say we, my family, community. It's our mission statement is so important, and I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, you inspire me, but this community inspires me. We follow Jesus, we change lives, we reach people. That's what we do.
What do you think would be different for your family if you weren't a part of this community?
Oh gosh, that's like asking me what it's like to be a twin, because I don't know what it's like not to be.
Okay.
It's not. I don't know.
Your life would be different, though.
It would be different. It would be very different. Very different.
Well, we thank you. I thank you on behalf of this community for serving us in so many ways.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Of course we don't give just because Bev does. That's a little tongue-in-cheek. We do give because all of you and all of the saints who have given before us have given to this particular faith community so that God could be known through us in this town. People who believed that the United Church could stay here in the downtown, that wasn't too long ago, who chose, even though they could have moved somewhere outside of here, so that we could, they chose to stay in the center of town, so that we could minister here. And as the town grows, we will remain in the center of this community of Okotoks. There are people who believed and believe still that the United Church has something to offer that other churches don't. We are the saints who are called to be the church now, to keep it here, to leave a lasting legacy for the next generation of people who will surely change the church, but who will continue to have a positive impact in this community and beyond. That is why we give to the church. That is why I tithe to the church. Next Saturday evening, we are coming together to celebrate that. To celebrate the magic of making a difference. And I invite you to let us know that you're coming. Everybody's, we'd love to have you come next Saturday night. Come to celebrate our presence here in Okotoks. Come to celebrate God and to celebrate you, all of the wonderful people who have made this church what it is and what it will be for years to come. We're not pretending that it's not a stewardship event. It is. But it is about more than that. It's about pooling our resources together so that we can continue to be a presence here in Okotoks. We are asking you to make a commitment to this church because we are in this together and we're all called to share our gifts with the church. It's not about equal giving. We can't all give the same. It's about equal commitment and sacrifice. It's not about the amount that we give, but the desire to be a part of a story that the church offers to the world. Why do we give? To ensure that God's presence will continue to be felt here and beyond these walls for generations to come. We give so that God's great love and generosity will continue to flow through us. May it be so. Let's join together now in silent prayer and reflection as we lift our prayers to God. If you have a care or a concern, or you have something that you wish to celebrate,